Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Monday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is March 4th. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing all right. I'm a little sore.
Why would you be sore? What happened? Worse for the wear? You have a big weekend? You go out hard Saturday night? What's going on? Why are you sore? What happened?
I don't know why I ran a marathon this weekend. It was one of those things that, you know, there's definitely times during the run yesterday, I was like, what am I doing? Why am I out here? But I did it. I completed the marathon.
You did a great time, fabulous time.
Yeah, a little sad. It was kind of like being 7 under through 15, trying to get it into the house. I felt like I got really slow the last really like 5 or 6 miles was a real grind. So it did not get, you know, it was a long, you know, I'm not going to go into it, but my,
was the motivation for doing this? When did this start? I think people want to know. By the way, this is why we're recording Monday morning, because you were running 26.2 miles yesterday. You were exhausted. It makes sense. And you're also why you don't have a mic, because you are, you know, in the environment of where your marathon was yesterday. You forgot your mic. So we're doing a haphazard podcast, but we got a lot to talk about. So what was the motivation? Why'd you decide to just wake up and run a marathon one day?
I was running a good amount, and yeah. I kind of decided that if I didn't do it now, I never was going to do one. Yeah. And then I did it. I decided in like January. It's recommended to do like 4 months of training. I did 2. A lot of it was, you know, fitting around all the travel I've had this year. So it wasn't ideal. And then the last month I've been dealing with all this, a lot of issues with one of my legs. So, you know, not really an ideal setup. I have so many recommendations for anybody that's thinking about it, but they all start with like, it's more important to stretch than it is to run.
Stretch in the lead up. Not necessarily,
you know, like just like stretch in the training. I ran into like all these issues with one of my legs, and it held up though. It held up race day.
I mean,
it's not holding up well today.
I'm interested to see, you know, we're going to be at a pretty prominent, some golf courses here in about, I don't know, 36 hours. Are you going to be, are we going to have to put you on our back and carry you around Northern Ireland for the next 2 weeks? How's that going to work? The timing, as you said, you're working it around your travel. Now you've gotten,
thing. This Northern Ireland thing came up. It was like, well, we have to do it after the marathon. So
right.
I don't know. I was running a bunch. My wife was like, my wife kind of got to the point where like, if you don't do it, what are you running so much for?
I have questions about why anybody runs for any reasons or for any amount of distances, but that's probably my sort of myopia on that one. But no,
I think there's a competition thing.
Sure.
That I used to play like amateur golf competitively, and those days are behind me because of time constraints, really. And I think this filled a little bit of a competitive vacuum for a little while. If that makes sense.
Wait till your daughter starts getting into sports, then that you get a bunch of psycho parents of the same, fills a lot of their competitive vacuum, and everybody starts yelling at each other, yelling at the refs. Yeah, that's why we have problems. But yeah, it'd be interesting. But good. Well, that's an amazing accomplishment.
I guess swing by, pick up my sticker, put it on my laptop and car, you know.
Yeah. Are you going to do that?
No. I joked with someone I was going to do. I was going to put 2 13.1.
You know, if you accomplish it, go ahead. Do whatever you want. I have a larger rant on bumper stickers. I need a bit for another time. Just the proliferation of bumper stickers and everybody's, you know, just ridiculous what's happened. But and why I'm anti.
So you hate bumper stickers?
No, I don't want to get into it right now. Yeah, we've gone too far. Why would you want to advertise? Anyways, well, that's for another time. It's gone way overboard. You're giving people a reason to slash your tires or try to run you off the road. Everybody's a nut out there. I just would keep it low key. Don't even put anything on your car. But separate discussion. Congrats to you. We'll see. We'll see if you have one leg or two legs for Northern Ireland. How hobbled you'll be. But we are off.
My big issue is the shin splint. If I can get the shin splint and working, or if it could just be like what it was before the race bite.
That doesn't sound pleasant. That doesn't sound pleasant. No. I mean, now you're going to sit in a metal tube for, you know, 20 hours going from California to Washington to Dublin. So that'll help for it, I'm sure. You get upgraded yet? Are you Polaris boy?
No. Did not get upgraded. Did not get pulled on the upgrade list.
Whew. All right. Break. You maybe should give yourself one. We'll be in Northern Ireland. We're very excited about that. Just as an update for the schedule. I mean, it's a big week here. A shotgun start. We got the Dump in a Box Classic. That's, you know, we are the foremost Dump in a Box Classic podcast. We've got an opposite field event. We've got Bay Hill. Signature event. So we'll do a little in-out alternate. We don't know when that will be. We are flying in a red eye Tuesday night. For me, it's nice and pleasant. You got to leave from the West Coast very early Tuesday to get to the East Coast, lose another 3 hours. So we will figure out when we're recording. Oh, we will record.
I did get upgraded. Big news.
Which one? The one to Dublin or the one to DC?
The one to Dublin. Okay. That was the only one that mattered. That was the one.
Yeah, right.
Was
the overnight boy. Yeah, you want that one.
All right, there you go.
So I think we'll probably record the Wednesday podcast from a different continent. We'll probably record it in Ireland. I'm very excited to get over there. If you would like to explore that, you can go to ireland.com/golf and check out what they have to offer. We're going to be doing Royal County Down. We're going to be doing Royal Portrush. Those are hosting the Irish Open this year and the Open Championship next year, respectively. We are going to play... hopefully courses most of the world hasn't, you know, under hidden gems. We're going to kind of bounce around. We've got a lot of good recs for a lot of good recommendations for food and drink, a little bit of culture. We're going to kind of bounce around. We have our Explorations podcast. We're recording one of those today, kind of anticipations episode. Subscribe to that. Is it up in Apple yet? Or are we still getting NC-17 inappropriate podcast?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Search Explorations on Apple. Where are we at on that? Can Tim Cook get that going in the feed? We need to call John Cook. Tell his brother to get Explorations going.
Audio erotica or whatever it was. Still jamming us there.
Not good. That's not okay. But go to ireland.com/golf. We will be recording those podcasts like on the road in real time and posting from our travels and obviously getting a bunch of good golf course footage and content over the next, I don't know, week or plus. So
weather looking good.
It's looking better. Seems like that could change subtly, but or suddenly, I should say. It's not looking bad. Sounds like it's been bad for a while, but looks like we could get away with it. We'll be in our rain gear from Zero Restriction, which separate issue. We got to figure out. Colors might not jive. Colors might not be ideal for going to Northern Ireland with some of our rain gear, but we'll figure it out. All right. Where do we want to go? The Honda Classic is wrapping up right now. Austin Eckroat is walking to victory. Barring some disaster, he's up 3 on the 18th hole. So we'll have Austin Eckroat winning the Honda Classic. That went to a Monday finish, Andy, because the PGA Tour apparently misread the weather forecast. They thought it wasn't really going to storm. They thought the percentages were low. Oh, we got some great championship management feedback. Did you see that, Andy? Did you see that?
I
you
did
were copied
see that.
On that as well. Just felt like affirmed a lot on my kind of popping the championship management last week, who of course has taken over the Cognizant. Now, whoever manages an event, the tour makes the call on whether they did not go early on Sunday off split tees. They just rolled it off. I think the leaders were at 140. We have a massive weather delay. There's no chance of a Sunday finish. Probably could have finished last night if they started early, then restarted whenever they did at 4:15. I think they restarted and had about 2 hours of play after that. They probably would have finished Sunday night had they gone, but they misread the weather forecast. Here's my championship management update. I'm going to try to protect identities on this one, but this made me feel good. Couldn't agree more. This is someone in the game, someone with experience of
somebody being around. With experience of championship management.
Well, I don't think he was with the tour, but or he or she was with the tour, but so, you know, yes, has been around a PGA Tour event, had to deal with the PGA Tour event. Couldn't agree more with your comments on the championship management, and I experienced it firsthand. Our first blank tournament was at blank, run by a non-champ foundation or management group, not the tour. They were amazing. They gave the course a bunch of budget to repair the course when they were done, did all the extra like details of providing, you know, volunteer stuff, setting up the course, the infrastructure around it, and providing, you know, minimal small stuff, air conditioning in some of the volunteers areas, things like that, or maintenance. Then it switches to the PGA Tour Championship Management. The course repair budget cut in half. This might have been a course that the tour owns. Who knows? Also, who knows? There's a lot of TPC courses on the road. Then they start billing the course for like AC. They charge the volunteers for drinks. They nickel and dimed everywhere they could. This is the PGA Tour in the way that the management, the non-tour management the year before had not. This apparently, if you ask around, happened everywhere from about 2010 to 2020. I don't know if it's still the case. This is this person's experience or you know, time frame of most intimate knowledge. As this management group really, the tour's championship management really grew. The feedback from every host site was that it was always worse under championship management. Ask any, you know, people who might have been involved and you'll hear the same story. All right. So there we go. That was great feedback to get. I left out some specifics to protect identities, but just know someone who's at inner working. This was my whole point. Not my take. You were yelling at me that championship management doesn't know what they're doing, that I was being mean to people. This is what people at Riviera were telling me like 2 weeks ago. This is what we're getting now. It's not, I'm just the messenger. This is just what I'm being told. And yeah, they've kind of gone to Cognizant. They've made it a pillow soft, you know, some rain helped with that, but they didn't want to, you know, make Florida too penal. They screwed up the weather, and it begs the question, which was my whole point, is the tour the ones you want running their events or some elevated world tour or some F1 model or whatever it is? It seems like that's not who we want on the controls. We need more consultants.
I think this is juxtaposed also with the LIV Tour popping Maronk for slow play.
It's interesting. I have that in our notes.
That's slow play
two
penalty.
In 2 years like, now. They did Blandy last year. They have cliques. They have an anti-cliques bias. And to supplement that, apparently Rahm's group or Rahm himself has been on the clock basically like every hole since he's played LIV. I think he was on the clock like every day this past week at Jeddah. And they're giving real strokes out, though.
I think like one of the things that is illuminated, and this is probably like one of the biggest issues with the tour, is there's just too many people. You know, championship management brings in double the amount of people. And yeah. What happens when you have too many people is that nobody makes good decisions because you talk about it and you come to, you know, you talk yourself into disasters. Right. And so, you know, it costs more money to have all those people. And then, you know, none of the people are actually empowered to make decisions and do their job. at a high level, because it's like there's so much middle management and glut in between. And I think that's probably, you know, one of the things that hopefully will be cleaned up, and in the sense of like, maybe you hire people that are good and you just let them do their job, as opposed to having a million, you know, VPs of nothing in Pontevedra.
And then you're charging volunteers for drinks. You're nickel and dime and everything else.
It's insane. I mean, that's because they're paying Joe Blow $300,000 to sit and, you know, have a walkie talkie and sit in a chair all day.
This is testimony from someone in it. We had outside foundation or management team running it, and it was great, and it was this way. And then the next year, it wasn't. And everything was nickel and dimed, and there was double the people. So anyway, it's just sort of the bloat and vulnerability that might exist at the tour, where Austin Eckrod is about to become your latest champion. Just hit into 18 safely. He's dry. He's three clear and on the 18th green. So he will be your Onda Cognizant Classic winner on a Monday at about 10:30 Eastern. You have Austin Eckrod winning the Cognizant.
Ideal finish for the tour, you know. Congrats to Austin Eckrod, though, you know.
Stud. You know, people are talking about, oh, we got another no-name winner. And like, yeah, he's not established. He's not a star. He wouldn't make the Just a Guy rankings. He wouldn't do that. You know, he played the Walker Cup. He's not a nobody. He didn't come out of nowhere. Was in the Walker Cup at Seminole a couple of years ago. So congrats to Austin Eckrod. This is obviously
a star, but he's 25 years old. Yeah. He's, you know, he's climbing the ranks. And, right. You know, people just don't become stars overnight. They have to accomplish stuff to become a star. And he's definitely somebody that has improved every year of his professional career. And from that standpoint, he was really good in college. You know, if you look at it, when in 2021, he was 480 in the world. That was when he, you know, first year as a professional, then got up to 227, then ended last year 94. Now he'll probably be in the 50s. So on his way, and he's 25. Like, you know, he's got a pedigree of playing very well in college. I mean, he was on that OSU team with Wolf and Hovland. Like, he was a great player in college. So, you know, the leaderboard people are you know, obviously hammering, nobody expected this to be good, but you've got in the top five, you've got Eckrod, Minwoo Lee, Erik van Rooyen, who obviously won last fall, decent player, Cameron Young, and you got Jake Knapp there too.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear Rory talk about Knapp. He's like, he's the real deal. I was like, the potential. Like, I mean, I don't think Rory throws out praise super easily, especially on golf talent or skills. And yeah, he was pretty impressed playing with Knapp. Potential. To be the real deal.
T4 at Honda, completely different setup than last week.
Yeah,
you know,
that's fair.
Versus that wide Mexico resort course versus the Bear Trap.
Yep. EVR over at Seminole playing the Seminole Pro member. I thought that wasn't great for the tour, that everybody viewed the weather delay as what it would mean for the Seminole Pro member, as opposed to the resolution of like a real competition, not real, but the actual tournament, the competition. But he's played Seminole, and, you know, Bob Ford, Jason Sobel tweeted something that, like, Bob Ford, the, you know, pro at Seminole, a retired pro, said he would be pulled off the golf course and shuttled back to PGA National if EVR remained near the lead at the end of the round. A lot of people piled on this, saw it as like, you know, what? Of course, the tour sucks. Tour doesn't matter. I don't know. It's like, fine. They're down the street. It's fine. He was three back. I don't know. And they could get him over there. But
I think you might use it as a sign to whether your tournament should exist. Does this Seminole Pro member trumpet? And if we went through the tournaments, what level tournament would it be? Okay, like, we don't really, who cares about the that?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Who would it be? What would it be? What tournaments classify as that?
Like the pro member line, like which one rises above it or which one?
Yeah. If it got pushed to Monday, there wouldn't be like, everybody's still going to be like, oh, it's going to ruin the Seminole pro member, but it wouldn't be like, oh, this guy should skip Sunday and go over there.
It's the most catnippy thing, Seminole pro member. So like everybody made the same joke. Like everybody on social media made the same joke. It's kind of gotten too far.
What was the joke?
Just like, what is it, when the weather, the Monday finish, like what does this mean for the Seminole pro member? Basically that same line, variations of it. So one variation that you never make from your health, especially on the road, running marathons, you never deviate from this, is your AG1 routine. You've taken care of running marathons in the middle of a busy professional personal life. You ran a marathon, you trained. Did you take your AG1 up to the
Listen, I got to tell you, taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should be at least simple. That's why for the last, 2 years now, I've been drinking AG1 every day. No exceptions. Doesn't matter if I'm on the road, doesn't matter if I'm, in a different country, doesn't matter if I'm in a, on a red eye, I'm bringing that AG1, I'm bringing the travel packs, the shaker. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel energized. It just makes me ready to take on the day. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple.
Bring it to your marathon?
Yeah, I brought it. I got the shaker bottle, everything. Listen, you know what, like one of the most important aspects of running a marathon is? Honestly, this was like my fear.
Nutrients? Water, nutrients?
Gut health. Gut health. You gotta be regimented with the gut because that's the last thing you want. My favorite, you got people out there with signs.
Yeah.
My favorite sign, I saw this guy was holding a sign that said, "Don't trust the fart."
Don't trust what?
The fart.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
This is something you want your gut health to code if you're running a marathon. And I was lucky that I was dialed in. I knew what to expect when I woke up.
All right.
So if there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1. And that's why I've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/shotgun. That's drinkag1.com/shotgun. Check it out.
All right. Also, check out Full Swing Thoughts. We have explorations just by coincidence. Too many podcasts. We got to launch it. Full Swing Thoughts. We've got 6 episodes loaded in. We're going to do the last 2 today with me and LaManya. Honestly,
when's that launch?
No shade to you, but it's been some of my favorite. I feel like some of the best recordings I've done this year. Ours too, but I feel good about them. I usually hate everything I do, but I felt good about the future thing. Show is out Wednesday night at 3 a.m. Eastern. And episode 1, you may or may not hear a reference made to this very podcast. Might be a little Easter egg in there. I don't know. In episode 1 to this collection of 5-year ongoing idiocy collection. So that'll be up. Subscribe to that podcast as well. All right, let's go to Liv. Joaquin Niemann wins Liv Jetta in a walk. The Crushers win by like 15 shots. The team competition feels like it's never been worse. It's just every week, it's like a spread of 6, 7, 8 shots. It's just not dramatic at all. I think Crushers
won. It was
won.
4 shots.
Oh, well,
this is a great
at
story.
One point, it was about 15. They must have recalibrated.
They came back. They won by 15 on the last round. This is a great comeback.
Good comeback by the Crushers.
They came from 11 back over the Stingers.
The Stingers. Joaquin Niemann cruises by four on the individual. He's clearly hot, clearly playing well, went like 63s, 64, had a great run, kind of just had to keep it steered in the house in the final round. Makes a comment afterwards about how he's still not a top 100 player. A lot of people popped him for this, like, why are you still whining? I just kind of thought it was a joke. I thought he was making a joke.
I thought it was a joke, too.
I get that he's whined in the past, in the prior iteration at Mayakoba, but I just thought it was a joke, not a big deal. He's in the Masters. He apparently this morning, I don't know who, but there's news that the PGA, or he told, it's from his horse's mouth. He told someone that Seth Waugh, the PGA has given him an exemption as well. So
look at that.
It makes sense. He's a top player, whatever number you want to put on it.
He's one of the top 20 players in the world. Top
never had a top 10 in a major. Hasn't played a lot of majors, but not really contended ever. Come close to contention in one. But, you know, you would expect him to maybe do that this year. Go.
Who would you take it if you had, you know, if this was your team, you know, your Ryder Cup team, but it's you know, it doesn't matter what country. If you're a captain, do you take Joaquin Niemann or Max Homa?
Today?
Yeah.
Man, Max Homa showed us a lot in Italy, like a lot. But today I might take Joaquin Niemann.
What about...
Would you take Hovland or Niemann?
I'd take Hovland.
Okay.
Would you take Niemann or... Cantlay.
Probably Cantlay. For sure Cantlay.
Niemann or Clark?
That's a toss up. That's a hard one.
So you're talking about a top 10 player in the world.
He's a stratosphere. Yeah, he's in a certain stratosphere, whatever you want to talk rank, like, you know, coach rankings or course rankings. He's just in a bucket. That's very high.
Probably top 12. You got Rahm and I think he's in that. He's in your tier system. Where is he? Is he just a guy? Or is he moved? Is he a stud?
I know. I think he was in stud. He was in stud. He was in there with like Kim Smith and Homa and all those guys. Yeah, Cantlay, Xander. He was in
there. He's not a needle mover yet.
No. Well, that's the other point. Is I don't know. This looked pretty dystopian. I mean, it sucks. The event sucks. I'm sorry. That's not an anti-live thing. We just said the Cognizant isn't great either. Like, it's just this barren desert. There's nobody there. There's a bunch of money just exchanging hands. There's, I guess, a competitive element. I really love how Bryson's playing, too. It feels like Bryson is look out for him when the majors roll around. But There's almost no reason to pay attention to this golf tournament as a competition. Congrats to Joaquin Niemann. It affirms that he's playing well. But as a competition, it's not a good one. I'm sorry. It's not. Maybe that's simplistic, but nobody's watching it in the States.
How dare you slander the Jeddah tournament like that?
Nobody's watching it in the States, which
is a premier event. It's a bigger market. No.
I love that they're popping guys for slow play. The big story was Anthony Kim returned. He finished on the course DFL by 11 shots.
I don't understand why the leaderboard has Ormsby ahead of behind him. Do you think they made that was part of his contract deal that they under no circumstances can put him last place?
Right, Ormsby.
I wonder if Yasser has a bonus for finishing 54th, you know, just like shooting 54.
Well, that's a first now. They just moved up to 54 in the last, you know, month here with the addition of Legion 13. Why is Ormsby behind? That's weird. Matthew Wolf. I wonder what happened with Wolf, WD. He shot 76, 76, and then I think...
Do you think Zeus, the dog, made it to...
Who's Zeus? To Jeddah? Is that Wolf's dog?
Wolf's dog. I think it was Zeus.
I don't think he did. So he's 16 over. Next worst is Swafford at 5 over. I don't really have a harsh judgment to pass on Anthony Kim's shooting 76 after 12 years away. That's fine. His ball speed numbers were not super great at the start. They got better over the last two rounds, but not great at the beginning. It's sort of what we talked about. Your take from last week, Friday or Wednesday, I forget, is like, were we more in love with the idea of an Anthony Kim comeback than the actual comeback, right? And now it's happened, and you're like, all right, the seal's been broken. It was maybe by design. This is exactly what he wanted. Middle of the night golf, nobody on the course, nobody really watching. The clips and coverage were minimal. Like, PGA Tour would have, you know, squeezed that dry.
I don't think there was a lot of stuff to clip.
Well, the tour would still find a way. Social, and maybe that's a problem with the tour. I don't know. But there wasn't a lot to follow along when you wake up in the morning. And yeah, he's back. This will lose its luster. I thought it was a weird comeback, as I said. And the appeal will quickly fade because now he's back. Like the whole running through the door was half the thing here, right? Coming out of the door was half the deal. Now he's playing golf. And what's the other half? Is it interesting? We'll see. It wasn't really in the first week, but that's not any critique at all. He's been gone for 12 years. I guess, go ahead, jump in. You have any reaction?
Yeah, you know, I think everybody always wonders what the best player at their club, like if you just took, you know, the majority of clubs around the country, it's always, oh, what would the best player at your club shoot if he played in a professional event? And this was a representation of that. You know, a lot of, 76, 76, 74, you know, par 70, and very few birdies. I think that was the thing to me. And like, this is where Liv doesn't have the stats or like the shot link. But the most alarming thing to me would be the ball speed numbers, which are going to get better. They're going to get faster. But you go from a top 20 in driving distance on tour to average. And that, like, that tells me that it's never going to be great. It makes me question whether, I think this is the big question, like a amazing success and a Herculean comeback would it be if we ever got to the point where we considered Anthony Kim a top 200 player in the world. And I don't know if he can get there. Only, you know, four birdies over three rounds. And I don't want to, as I said on Friday, I don't want to rush to any judgment, but I'm curious, like how many real chances did he even have at birdies?
Right.
Because he's going to make Neiman a lot seven. Of bogeys.
Neiman had eight in his first round. So
yeah.
Eight birdies.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. What you'd like to see is some birdies. And I this is one tournament. It's his first one back. But that's something to watch. Is he generating birdie looks and chances and converting birdies? If he can get to where he's making five birdies around, four birdies around, then I think you could say, oh, he can be a top 200 player because the bogeys are going to go away as he gets more reps. But there just weren't a lot of birdies. And honestly, the speed numbers are the biggest thing that you look at and say, "This I don't know if this is going to work."
So, any kind of I thought it fell flat. I thought it wasn't really didn't provide a lot of juice.
It felt flat. They were playing in Saudi Arabia.
Maybe
at 3
by design. That's what I'm saying. But if you're a live player or bot or supporter, like, are you super thrilled about this? Like, doesn't this kind of undercut the whole competitive? I wrote last week the tour would give him a sponsor's exemption in a heartbeat. Tour organizers would too. But if I'm like a live player who's been present in professional golf, even the guys at the end of their career, like a Poulter or Westy or whatever, like
bringing up the rear magic sticks.
But he's been in professional golf. He's been attempting to play professional golf. He's been working at playing professional golf. He just might not have a lot left in the tank, but he's been working at it. And like David Faraday on one of the broadcasts, I think the first broadcast, didn't seem super pumped or down with the whole AK thing. I guess like if I was a player, I just like, why is this? And you've spent years trying to really legitimize yourself a little bit more. I'm not saying this totally delegitimized, but if I were on the inside, I might be like not super crazy about the AK stuff. I get that it's a PR boost, but it feels like they're undercutting a little bit of their arguments their attempts to really try to shout about being more legitimate over the last few years. And I just wouldn't be thrilled if I was a competitive golfer working at being staying in the game, being a pro golfer over the last 10 years, 2 years, whatever it is. And they just give this guy the same footing. Is that fair? Like, I wonder if they're thinking about it, like a DJ or a Poulter or whoever it is looking around. Maybe they just don't care. It's fine. Just add him to the back of the wagon.
I think that the flip side to that is like they need to generate eyeballs. They have all this talent, sure, and nobody watches. And, you know, this is something that will get people to watch more. And that's the calculus, right? I think it's like fair to say like the LIV leaderboards are better than PGA Tour leaderboards on non big time event weeks.
Zahner said that. Like the leader said that in his interview.
The leaderboards, yeah, the leaderboards are going to be better just because of the nature of the smaller field, and they have like a lot of good players, right?
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of getting more people to watch. I think that, yep. I think like in you know, I think it, I think the telecast is. If you are into seeing golf shots, the telecast is better. I think the peripheries, the everything other than the golf shots is worse, but they do show a lot of golf shots. So for a golf fan, that's like it's a nice thing. It's nice to just watch shots.
Yeah. I saw Bacon, who was up a lot in the middle of the night, said he was getting minimal golf shots on Twitter. They were like, really hardening it up a little bit. They've started to do too many pre-produced things, but we'll see. I mean,
were they having Anthony Kim drink a beer out of a shoe?
No. It's like clips of the podcast and clips of like old clips, promo clips. I don't know. Pre-produced stuff. Yeah, it's just a thought I had. Honestly, I'm trying to think of it from the LIV player's perspective. Like, are some of them annoyed by this? And the whole Faraday thing sort of.
I bet James Pyatt's annoyed.
Well, sure. The same issue. Like, what does Phil think of this? I don't know. He was once boys with AK, obviously way back when. But like, the guy is not
at the Masters.
The guy's not on the tour because he wanted to be a competitive golfer all of a sudden again. He's like, the money was right and he came back. And maybe he can be a competitive golfer again. He's fine doing that. But I don't know. Just something I thought of. Like, are these guys all cool with it? Even if they're not super competitive themselves, they've at least been present in trying to be a pro golfer. So, and
you know who I bet's pissed?
What?
Kokrak. I bet Kokrak's your guy.
I think Kokrak's fine. Kokrak's probably living good, living easy, so having a good life. All right, that does it for LIV. Congrats to Joaquin Niemann. Obviously, he stays hot. Elsewhere, Hannah Green wins overseas. That was middle of the night. Drops in a bomb on the 72nd hole. We had a great turnout at the Argentine Open. El Pato was around. Kind of interesting. Like your South American tour take, kind of a KFT, great turnout. And there weren't even
outside of the mosquito problem. It was.
Yeah, that was crazy. Guys in nets playing practice rounds. But, you know, they don't even have like Emiliano Grillo and some of the other guys there because it's a KFT. But it really looked like a solid turnout for the Visa Open. So, yeah, it's maybe a possibility for more South American golf. especially given that it was, you know, middling kind of KFT field. El Pato, though, and I love, you see the Burley boys taking pictures with El Pato? Cucumber, no. Logan McAllister getting pictures with the duck before the tournament. That's your whip around in golf. Last but not least, Paul Azinger did an interview with Adam Shupak in Golf Week, just talking about his breakup.
Not a good interview to come out for NBC.
A lot of people jumped on it. He talked about the negotiations. It's like, we made like a counteroffer a little bit. He said that was it. They said, nope, never mind. Just we're moving on. This is again, Azinger's recounting. He blamed a lot of it on Sam Flood, who's the new kind of head honcho at Golf Channel. He was an a-hole about it, is what Azinger said. All we were doing was making a counteroffer, and they said, no, take it or leave it. I said, Sam, was that presented to us as a take it or leave it? And he said, it's complicated, Zahner. I talked to him for 23 or 24 minutes. That's an oddly specific time. Like, what is that? I talked to him for 23 or 24 minutes. And every time I would ask him a question, it would be like, are you upset with or something? And we had the parameters of a deal done. Are we not supposed to negotiate with you? And he wouldn't say anything. It was like, nope, we're moving on. There was never anything like, Zinner, this is all we can do. This is our best shot. My poor manager, he's sitting there like, what happened? This is how it went down. We just wish it would have ended differently because honestly, I'm kind of happy it ended. So he seems just mad at how it ended, even though he also talked about going for another 5 years. I had heard a bunch of different stories about this. Yeah, clearly both sides expected to stay together, you know, because it happened mm-hmm. in December. And I don't know what fell apart with the negotiation. Was the counter too strong? Was there just no appetite for any counter? It just doesn't seem like it was ideal for any side. So Sam Flood gets popped in this, talks about how they're cutting costs with everything.
Everything's a cost-cutting measure.
NBC. A lot of his people who supported him were gone, you know, Bavacqua and others, and then he was out. So, but yeah, he really popped NBC. No, less drones, less everything is a cost-cutting measure on NBC right now. And he gave the LIV Tour some run, says he's never doing the PGA Tour again. He doesn't like who's in charge. Kind of popped Jay Monahan quite a bit. So Charles Barkley should be the analyst, but it would be too much money, too expensive, because they just, everything is a cost thought now. Barkley being the head chair would be interesting. I don't know if that's necessarily, like, I think you could put him in the booth, but
I don't think they can afford Charles Barkley, to be completely honest.
Well, that's what he said. Everything is about making it less expensive. It's a shame. And then last but not least, he goes hard at Jay Monahan and why he would never do PGA Tour golf again. He's open to LIV, said never say never. I guess that's not being open. He said never say never on LIV, but doesn't expect it at all. Jay gave a report in front of Jack Nicklaus. This was at Memorial last year, and the heads of the USGA, RNA, PGA, and the Masters. There's about 15 of us in there, and I think understandably everyone in that room is a little down on Jay. All of a sudden, the PIF deal comes out on June 6th. He told no one in that room. He's been negotiating with PIF for 6 months. Why didn't you tell anybody that? Why didn't you just say that? That could have been when he let it out, but he didn't. And he started the battle, and then he switched teams in the middle of it, and Rory's falling the sword for him, you know? He's working his butt off. You got to give him credit that he's hung in there somehow, I guess. You got to give him credit that he's putting together billions of dollars because it appears to be the case. His intentions are to do what's best for the players, but he just didn't handle it right. I don't want to get in too much hot water, make big headlines or anything, but the best players aren't on the PGA Tour. They're scattered all over the place, and that's a sad day. That's similar to what's happened in tennis. The best players are going to be at the four majors, just like tennis. It's unfolding right before our eyes. And he talked about how he thought the tour was a little bit of a feeder tour for LIV, like a developmental tour for LIV. He said, I'd rather call the senior tour than the PGA Tour, to tell you the truth. I'm over the PGA Tour. To call the best senior players in the world, at least they're the best. Just getting at the fragmented nature of golf, hitting Jay on the way out, hitting Sam Flood, and they let him run in Golf Week. So
Zahner, he got a pressure in there too.
He got multiple stress and pressure. There are multiple pressures. Pressure. Talk about stress. Talk about having the cold sweats for his first like year on the broadcast. kind of amazing synergisms in there. So.
Talked about also, being muzzled by NBC. Can't say that.
Some self-deprecation about when he would make a mistake, it became content, and he loved that because he can handle it. Like, I miss Zainer. We love Zainer. I don't miss Zainer, really. I miss what Zainer provided, I suppose. But yeah, some interesting
we'll
things.
We'll see. Maybe we'll have Bones back after the API. You know, we got.
How about Luke Donald? Just didn't come today.
I didn't really watch.
Well, he's at Seminole, I think. I don't know if the contract was by day and not round or what, but
who's doing it today? Who's on it today?
I don't know. You have Faxon. I think, well, I don't know. Maybe Faxon. Skip
the Faxon's the Seminole,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Maybe he had a later tee time.
I don't think LD was in there. So, all right, which reminds me, I got to go watch Full Swing. LD, last one's on the Ryder Cup. So subscribe to that.
All right.
We'll be back with you on Wednesday, I think, from Ireland. I think that's where we'll be recording our next podcast. Big week ahead. Talk to you then. Mm-hmm.